Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
97-1. John, let's get into it. We have this conversation about Jared Goff and the MVP and whether or not he can still win it after a five-interception day. Where are you at on this?
He can still win it. There's a lot to be said for what he has done through, you know, the other, let's just say seven games, versus, you know, maybe one at the beginning, we could say is a one-off. This one's a one-off. The problem is Lamar just hasn't had a one-off. Now they've lost three games. They started off 0-2, but statistically, he's having a season better than anything he's had so far, and he's already a two-time MVP. He's clearly the front runner.
It's his to lose.
And how much? So then you have to start weighing how much does the record follow along with what a quarterback has done? Because you look at Patrick Mahomes, I think part of the only reason, there's a couple reasons why he is, what would you say, plus 650?
Yeah.
Is one, his name, Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
He's won it before. He's won multiple Super Bowls, and they're undefeated. If they weren't undefeated, with the same numbers, would he still be plus 650? Probably not. And so I think all that plays a part of it. I think that Jared Goff, as we start to get into December and then early January, will be back in the same conversation, and it's going to be the same characters. It's not going to be Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's in the mix right now because he's having a great season, but the Bengals suck.
Yeah.
And so it's Lamar Jackson, it's Josh Allen, and we'll get a chance to see a head-to-head comparison of what Josh Allen does for the Bills and what Jared Goff does for the Tigers. And that's going to help.
For the Lions. You said the Tigers.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the Lions.
You're good.
Yeah. Sorry, and Tigers on the brain.
And you're right. Well, we had Tigers in the update with the Bregman thing. Hey, fingers crossed. Petzold had an article the other day that's to the contrary, but it's very early in that process. So here's the thing. I think with opportunities against Josh Allen down the stretch, primetime Thanksgiving is a nationally televised game. Like, Goff can still have, we used to call them Heisman moments in college, he still has a chance for some MVP moments. Part of the formula for MVP has always been, and maybe too much so, wins and losses. Like, part of the formula is your stats,
sure,
your team's record, your role in your team's record. If the Lions are a 15, hell, even 14 win team,
yeah,
they're going to be at the very top of the sport at the end. They'll be one of the two or three best teams record-wise. And if Goff has two or three games in big spots, a primetime game on Monday night against the Niners in his home state, an opportunity against the Bills in a big 4 o'clock window, maybe it gets flexed to primetime and Thanksgiving, he's got a chance with, let's call it, three more big spotlight games against good teams if he has the games we saw the last few weeks where he's completing 80% of his passes, right, and he is dead-eye throwing dots and throwing touchdowns and he's avoiding the mistakes. Yeah, I still think he could get in the mix. I think, unfortunately, he's going to need Lamar to have a clunker or two to really open the door for him.
Yeah, and for Lamar to have a clunker or two, it's simply going to be a costly interception or a, you know, can't convert when you need to win a game. Because on the flip side, okay, yeah, it was five interceptions in one game, but he also at the end helped put them in position to win.
Like, I don't know if people realize the season. Lamar has won two MVPs, and this year has been his best.
Statistically, it's his best.
Yeah, and again, stats are not everything, but it's one way we measure this stuff. And he's only got two picks. He's got north of 20 touchdowns. Then you throw in all the rushing stats.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he's having a phenomenal season. And their defense isn't as good, so their record isn't as good. But he's been the most valuable player through, 10 weeks now?
Right, but it's also, he has another weapon. Derrick Henry.
It helps him.
And
Goff has weapons too, so we can't penalize for that.
Goff has more weapons than Baltimore has, which, again, you can't penalize a guy for having weapons, but how much of it is just Goff? How much of it is Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson?
Ticket Texture says, perhaps we can focus on the fact that Goff only had four picks the entire season before Sunday, as opposed to fixating on the five he had this week. His performance in that game should be like a bad shot in golf. Have the memory of a goldfish, forget about it, move on.
So that's why I said in another 5 or 6 weeks, when the drama of having five picks in one game starts to wear off and the numbers start to normalize a little bit, I think that, the odds or the perception will certainly change.
I love how you excuse all of Goff's interceptions, but crap over quarterbacks like Love, who have a lot of interceptions that looked like Goff's first three. Jordan Love has some dumb interceptions.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Love's pick six against the Lions, that was not like Goff's interceptions on Sunday.
No, that was reminiscent of some, you know, interceptions we've seen from a quarterback that was here prior.
Right.
Where you just, okay, scrambling around, trying to make something happen. I get that.
Doing too much.
But just, yeah, I mean, at some point, it comes down to decision-making, and it's eat the ball at some point.
John, the Lions overcame five interceptions from Jared Goff. Sure, and you were not here yesterday, but Stoney and I spent a lot of time talking about the Lions game. I am curious to you, what was the moment where things changed? Like, how did you feel at halftime? And what was the moment where things became solidified? The Lions are winning this game.
It was, for me, and it's hard to say this because both Carlton Davis interceptions resulted in interceptions being given back to them. But it was the second one where they're in the end zone, and it could have been a deadly shot by the Houston Texans to go up. I believe they would have gone up, 30-13 at that point. And when that happens, the turnaround, yeah, you give them the ball back, but preventing them from getting in the end zone, to me, that was the moment where I'm like, okay, they're still fighting, they're still scrapping, they're showing the everything that we talk about, the grit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the moment where I'm like, okay, they're not out of it. They can't actually come back. Now, it was dampered a little bit by two plays later throwing another interception.
And that was the really egregious one, I thought, to J-Mo.
Right, but there was this sense from the very first interception, the first play of the second half, where Carlton Davis comes away with an interception. And then it was, three plays, 1 yard, punt for Houston. It was the interception that I'm talking about, the second interception from Carlton Davis, where it was five plays. It was their longest drive, 40 yards, but it ended up in a change of possession. And then it was a punt after, you know, eight plays, 8 yards. Three plays, 1 yard, punt. Four plays, 4 yards, punt. Missed field goal. It was nine plays, 30 yards. Like, the defense was so dominant in the second half, and it was kind of the buildup. All of a sudden, the second interception by Carlton Davis, and it's like, you know what? Yeah, they're going to find a way to be in the mix at the end. And it was kind of just, how are they going to get there?
His second interception, Carlton Davis, It showed that they were going to keep getting as many stops as needed. They were going to put it on a tee for the Lions offense. When the Lions made it 23-20, I knew they were winning the game. I didn't think they were out of it at the half by any means, but I needed to see the offense get going. When they had scored their second half touchdown, I go, okay, offense is awake. Defense has pinned them down, to use the stats you were just using, has pinned them down, and it's right there for the taking, and now the offense is revved up, and it's only a matter of time. Houston had what we have had before, the feeling of you're in quicksand.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. It's going to be slow.
Stop it.
Oh, it's just going to... You are not winning this game. You have the lead. You have the lead at home in the fourth quarter, but you have lost momentum, and there is a freight train bearing down on you, and the Lions would make 250-yard field goals, and I expected them to make them because I had felt the game was swinging their way, and it was only a matter of time.
Well, and it goes back to some of the different things that we've seen, and let's just take the Minnesota game. They spot them 10 points, yet in the second quarter, they score 21. They give the lead back after a fumble returned for a touchdown, and they find a way to give themselves a chance at the end with the field goal to win the game. This is an offense that is scoring points at an almost historic pace. And so if you're down 16 at half, I don't think anybody looked at that and goes, it's insurmountable. The point spread wasn't what was insurmountable, how they were playing. But you also believe at some point in four quarters, it's going to click. They're going to get it right. They're going to score points. And the 16 points is... It's nothing that they can't overcome. That's really what the feeling was at halftime. Nothing that they couldn't overcome.
Right, and we had talked about it. There were moments recently where this team has been faced with opportunities where, hey, if they lost the game, we'd understand.
We create excuses for them.
You lose to Minnesota the first week after Hutchinson on the road.
Right.
Nobody's happy to lose that game, but we would have said, all right, lick your wounds, trade for a pass rusher, it'll be all right.
Get it, yeah.
They didn't. They won the game anyway. Tennessee, no excuses. You had to win that game, and they won it easy. Green Bay in the elements. Oh, no, Goff with the gloves. It's raining and it's windy. Yeah. If they would have lost, we would have said, damn, well, good thing that they play indoors at Ford Field. Just win the home games and you can avoid it. But they won the game anyway. And with Houston, the linebackers are flying around. They had extra rest because they had played on a Thursday night. You're going, boy, hey, that's a good Houston team. They
you're
lose.
Down Decker.
Yeah.
You're down. You know, obviously, Za'Darius Smith
not
didn't
playing.
Play.
You didn't get your reinforcements. The shot in the arm from the pass rush. You would go, I don't like losing these games, but all right, I get it. They're going to lose. John, they are not going to lose these games. They are not built to lose these games. They are built in a way where no matter what adversity hits them, they're going to rally. So at the half, was I happy? No. Was I concerned? To an extent, but I thought there was a lot of football left, and I wanted to see how they'd respond. Now, Houston getting the ball out of the half is a chance for them to drive a nail in the coffin, and instead...
One play.
There's Carlton Davis. How did he get the ball? He picked it off, and it was the way the TV broadcast did it, where they play Dan Campbell asking his defense to get a turnover.
And there it is.
Asking you shall receive. Yes,
exactly.
There it is.
Yep.
248-539-9797. John, who do we have on hold?
We've got Greg on hold here. Hold on a second here. You're move spots here, so I'm going to go to... Greg in Detroit. Greg, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Guys, awesome show as always. I'm just a Garrett Goff fanatic. He is just the greatest quarterback ever to me. And he's been an MVP for me ever since 2 years ago when he started the season against the Eagles. And, I mean, they had the potential to score 50 points, and this is after the Eagles had just came from losing in the Super Bowl. So he's been my MVP, and that's the point. I said, wow, we got something here. The Lions could have scored. If you watch that game again, they left some touchdowns on the field, but almost 50 points. That's when he'd become my MVP. But mostly the last game. Now, here's the thing. You throw five interceptions, MVP. It's going to stay there, stay focused, and when it's crunch time, that MVP, Garrett Goff, it's going to get you the victory. That's what he did. He stayed poised. He stayed calm. He knew he had an opportunity. He didn't get he didn't get disgruntled or anything like that. He didn't lose focus. He stayed focused and always said, give me 2 minutes on the clock and the ball in Garrett Goff's hands. He is an MVP.
So I think that's an underrated point of the game. Like five interceptions is a headline no quarterback wants to see, but underrated in that he didn't stop. He didn't get rattled. He just kept leading this football team. And they needed those second half touchdowns. They needed him to distribute the ball, and they got it.
We got a little breaking news. I'll tell you what, when we get back, I'll tell you what's going on in division.
See,
unless you want to say it now.
No, the TV's behind me. You can pay that tease off next. But I need you as a former
player.
Real
quick, it's actually Connor Stallions is replacing him.
Just keeps falling upward. No, we'll actually break that news next. And John, I need to know, as a former player, if you're buying... what James Houston was selling. It's 97.1. All right, guys, we talk about winning. And listen, as Lions fans, you want to toast to the Kings of the North? Do it with 1800 Tequila, the best taste in tequila and a proud partner of the Detroit Lions. Make sure you grab the limited edition Motor City Jersey bottle. It's on shelves now. You'll see it. It's that black label. It's made for this season, and it's made to look like those alternate jerseys the Lions wore in Week 4. The bottles will be gone soon, so get yours wherever you normally buy 1800 Tequila and enjoy the number one super premium tequila and the taste of victory on game day. 1800 Tequila, Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, the Goff conversation today has been, is the MVP candidacy over? A five interception day is bad. When your team wins with you throwing five interceptions, how valuable are you, right? The word is most valuable player. Ticket Texter says, unfortunately, judging by what the award means, I don't know that he can win the MVP. It shows that he isn't fully relied on the way that we had previously thought. Says, look at stats. Another texter says, Goff has something neither Lamar or Mahomes have, a receiving touchdown. Goff MVP, argument over.
He does.
And this one says, stop, Goff is not an MVP. Ravens can't win without Lamar. Lions apparently can win while injured and with five interceptions. He is not the MVP. Our point was, no, he's not right now. Season still has some big moments left and a lot of football left. No, he's not the MVP right now. He's not one, he's not two, and he's not three for me. You had some breaking news.
Oh, yeah. You had switched seats. It was literally right behind you. It popped up. Shane Waldron, offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, is no longer the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears.
Saw that coming, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's Eberflus is going to point as many fingers as possible. Yeah. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. Before he gone. And it's, I mean, it's a matter of time, right? I mean, by the end of the year, whether they or not they do it during the regular season, this is his final year in Chicago.
So this is typically how it goes. You fire the OC. Actually, the first thing you do is sometimes you'll see them take away play calling duty.
Yeah.
But firing the OC is like one step removed from cutting the head off of the snake there.
Yeah. There's been no development by Caleb Williams. You've got three really good, talented receivers. And I think the bigger question is you've had guys on both sides of the ball quit in the middle of plays. To me, that's not the OC. That's the culture. And that's the culture is always set by the head coach.
Yeah, they've never fired a coach in season in the history of their long and storied franchise.
Maybe he's just taking away the whoever he thought was going to be the interim. They'll put Shane Waldron in here.
Yeah, take that option off the table.
Uh-huh.
This feels inevitable for them with three straight losses, 23 straight possessions without a touchdown. Mm. You got to get things going for your number one overall pick. They have enough weapons in that offense.
Yeah.
The line, I don't think is good. I don't think it's this bad to where they gave up 9 sacks last week. They got to get things cleaned up. The OC is got to be the fall guy here, but he won't be the only guy if they don't win.
This SGO in Chicago is so like, it's like, I just love it.
You Me know, too.
I just love it. And the preseason speculation of them, and it was all just hype. And I'm to a point now where I think the next move for the franchise, because I think this goes beyond the coach almost. It's like if they had their stuff together, they would have changed coaches last year and started fresh with somebody with an offensive mind with Caleb Williams.
Yep.
So at this point, I think the franchise, by the time they get here on Thanksgiving, you know who might be the head coach of the Bears? Olin Krutz.
The old center?
Yeah, yeah. Just like Saturday in the Colts, because this is the Colts all over again. It's a three-ring circus. You like that, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I love that they were on Hard Knocks. I love that everybody got so hyped about this team. Everybody said they were going to be. This is what they are, and I love it. Okay, John, before we get to Heather's news, this is kind of a news story. We have James Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Who, as Stoney put out, photo appeared to have pooped his pants.
Right.
The white pants are unforgiving for the Lions. James Houston sent out a message saying, "Hey, y'all, I had some Gatorade. I sat on some Gatorade. Just chill. Laughing emoji, poop emoji." Yeah. John, you've played. Do you buy it?
I don't know what flavor of Gatorade or what mix of Gatorade. I don't buy it.
There's no way the Gatorade would be just right there in that section. If you sat on a liquid.
Yeah. Could you describe it a little better?
The stain, it was like yellowy brown right in the crack.
Right.
She's right, people.
So if you sat on Gatorade, it would kind of spread over your entire
your cheeks.
It would disperse a little bit more.
There was no Gatorade.
No.
This was one targeted area.
I've always said I hate white uniforms. I mainly hate them because for big guys, they just make you look fatter than you already are, which you have to admit, right? Yeah, hey, that level of body weight, you are somewhat fat. But there's no way to hide anything with white uniforms. And the hard part for James Houston was obviously the play that everybody is showing. Like, they basically zoom in on it.
Yeah.
Because that's where the ball, the tackle, his pursuit of the play, but always facing camera. And as Heather so eloquently put it, it's all right there in the crack.
It is. Thank you.
Also, how fitting is it that Stoney was one of the first people to point this out during game day? He tweets it out. Boom. Yeah. There it is. He did.
Gosh, I guess I got to get in Twitter.
His attention.
I mean, we know this, John, working with him and Heather. He does have a tough time holding a fart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't need to know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we all know, the number one rule, never trust a fart.
Yep.
I mean, that's the hard part is during a game, things happen.
Yeah, this was Stoney's tweet. James Houston needs some Charmin. And then the photo.
Some dude wipes.
And something. All right. So that could have been one of Heather's news stories, but let's get to the rest of them.
Well, it actually was my leading news story.
Oh,
but
we can rehash it if you want.
But I didn't look at the rundown, so I didn't realize you were actually going to talk about it right before my news. So that one's done. But that's okay.
Where was that stain again?
You know. So let's talk about another story, kind of about the Lions, but not really. I mean, it is, but it isn't. So after their win in Houston, G-Matt Cash came out with a brand new song about the Lions. Let's take a listen.
It's like Mad Libs, right?
It's
just
great.
Fill in the beep.
It's fun. Yeah, I mean, easy to do.
Yes.
Very easy
yes.
to do. It was called We Run the North. And this is not his first song about the Lions. He also had one called Lions Won Again. Then he did one about the Tigers, too. So he's sharing his, you know, fandom for Detroit sports through song, which is great.
It's awesome.
I love it. Keep him coming. I think it's fabulous. Let's see. In other news, DTE customers will see a slight increase in their bills this fall following an approved rate increase by the Michigan Public Service Commission. So customers are expected to see an increase of about $2 on their monthly bill. And then in addition to that, customers are also going to have a 66-cent infrastructure recovery mechanism surcharge that will that will increase annually. So this 66-cent increase will increase to $6.28 by January 1st of 2029. So our bills are just going to continue to go up. Both the increase and the surcharge are set to go into effect on November 21st, which is, right around the corner of this year. DTE officials say that the increases are needed to pay for investments in the company's infrastructure, as well as rising operational and maintenance costs. The Batmobile from the Dark Knight trilogy can now be yours for just a measly $3 million.
That's it?
Yeah. Warner Brothers is now selling 10 fully functional, but not actually street legal replicas of this, you know, iconic vehicle. So you can go online and, you know, if you're interested, you do have to do an application. You have to go through an application process. You must be approved. And then it will take quite a while to construct the vehicle and then deliver it.
But then I can't drive around in it.
You can't, but if you have enough money, I guess, to spend $3 million on this Batmobile, you'll probably have enough money to take it somewhere
private
that you can drive it.
Yeah, first world problems.
It's exactly. The holiday season is here, and this year Gen Zers are expected to spend way more than any other generation out there. So according to a new survey, 28% of Gen Zers plan to spend $1,000, which is, like I said, more than any other group. Older generation, so all of us here are, I think this is low, but maybe it's just me, are planning to spend $250 to $500 on like non-essentials. So like on gifts and decor.
$250 to $500 on Christmas?
Yes.
That doesn't include obviously getting presents for your kids.
Feels light.
It feels really light. Because I was going to say, technically, I haven't really even started, but I have started and I've already spent more than that.
Yeah.
It's Heather with the news. All right. Coming up next, Lions head coach Dan Campbell. It's 97.1.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.